Well, our Lord Jesus is constantly giving us insight into heaven, into the Father himself, into the Spirit, which gives life. So why does he use the images that he does to describe the kingdom? What about a cat or a soldier or a cloud in the sky or an old man or a good meal? Probably he could make anything in the created order into an image of heaven. So I think that's the point, is that everything in creation speaks of the glory of God and his kingdom. Yes, it's like a mustard seed. Yes, it's like yeast mixed with flour. Yes, it's like a found coin. Yes, it's like a pearl found in a field. It's all those things and more, isn't it? The point is that we can see glimpses of the kingdom of heaven everywhere we look. In every nature scene and in every relationship, there are signposts pointing this way to the kingdom of heaven. In these two images of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says it's like a mustard seed which grows into a tree, and it's like leaven which is mixed with flour. The kingdom of God cannot come to those who do not want it, or who do not ask for it and seek it, or do not understand how to approach it. So the birds of the air are those who are looking for a home in the kingdom for which you and I were created. Ultimately, it is like nothing we can imagine, but everything we can long for, and it is reflected everywhere we look. Even the psalm, if we were just take the psalm today that tells us how to experience the kingdom of heaven and have a truly happy life, fear the Lord, the psalmist says. Be in amazement of God the Father of the universe that he has made for us, for the sole purpose of sharing his blessed life with us. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but our culture has essentially stopped asking about the kingdom of heaven. On the other hand, when our culture hears Paul tell wives to be subject to their husbands, they love to say that Christians believe in making women inferior. They don't read how today's passage from Ephesians starts with husbands and wives being subject to one another. And that 80% of this passage is about the ways that a husband must love his wife as much as his own body, as much as Christ loved the church, sacrificing himself, holding nothing back. This is also an image of the kingdom of God, and in imitation of Jesus, who made the kingdom real in his own body, and he wants to do so again and again in his body, the church. I remember having applied to the diaconate. I was interviewed by a good and holy priest in Calgary, and there was this long list of questions. And these questions had to be answered in an hour. So I was watching his pen go down the page as he asked each question. And I gave an answer. And I thought, good, I've done it in the hour. And then he flipped it over and there was a whole nother list. So he looked at me, you know, and hard at that moment as he flipped the page over. And he said, you know, some people give really good answers to these questions. And then they keep on going and they mess it up. He used a different word there. Not a really bad word, but not as nice a word as that one. The point is that that many have read this passage superficially. And I would love it if Paul just simply stopped when he said, be subject to one another, but he keeps on going. And in a way, that's kind of messed it up for us, because now we have to work really hard to understand the depth of Paul's meaning. Paul says, be mutually submissive. Remember the creation account? Eve was not taken from the foot or the head to be lorded over or to lord it over her husband, but next to his heart from his rib. Husbands are to imitate Jesus, to sacrifice themselves. People make a mistake about the church and about this passage because they don't read the whole context of Ephesians. So what does Christ do for those who subject themselves to him? Well, he handed himself over and sacrificed himself for us. And since he did that, showing us the way of love as sacrifice, then we ought to die to our selfishness and give ourselves to others, especially to our spouses, but in all of our relationships. This is the way of Christians. John Chrysostom in the 4th century challenges the husbands of his own day like this. If you want the kind of honor that the church has for Christ, then take the same care for her, your wife, as Christ has for the church. even if it shall be needful for you to give your whole life for her, even to be cut to pieces 10,000 times, or any suffering at all, don't refuse to do that. Even then, you won't have gone as far as Christ did for us. The sacraments are holy covenant moments of grace where Christ is fully present in a real way, demonstrating the kingdom by his own self-sacrificial love. The Christian life is a call to make everything holy, to make everything sacramental. It's not easy, is it, brothers and sisters? But it is our one ultimate calling. There is no other one which can fully satisfy than Jesus, our Lord, who gives himself for us and invites us into his kingdom. It is something to which we are called to submit, to serve, not as slaves, but men and women who seek the kingdom of love.